If you're just joining us, you're just in time. You know, yesterday and the whole weekend, actually, 9/11, big media doings. We had some special programming here at WSBD as kind of a retrospective and all the rest. Talked to John Stossel, if you recall. I believe it was on Friday, talking about his special on Fox, which I watched, and it was different. He had Annie on, Ann Coulter. He discussed a number of different aspects. He had, of course, Bill O'Reilly on, which was a totally worthless portion of the program. But if you took the time and you went over to Jim Bovard's blog, you would find that Jim did a great piece there. You remember Terrorism and Tyranny. We had copies of that book to give away, along with the Bush Betrayal and things like that. And if you read that book, you would have recognized the number of epigrams that Bill took out of Terrorism and Tyranny and posted up there as kind of a retrospective analysis, so that we, you know, put things in perspective. All right. And I said, gee, that's really good stuff. We haven't talked about this for a while. So I gave Jim a call earlier today, and it only cost me a couple of beers to get him to come on the show with us here this afternoon. Hello, James.
Hey, Brian. How you doing?
I'm good. I don't know how I'm going to get those beers to you, but I'll work on that. Listen, what do you think overall? Now, you did something that I did not do. I could not bring myself to watch all the special programming and all the rest, you know, for a lot of reasons, none of which I'm prepared to discuss here on the air, but you did watch, and I'd be interested in your objective analysis on what you saw.
Well, last night I sat down and watched Brian Williams and President Obama, but the only way I could do it is I had it with a raging bitch. Actually, I had it with two raging bitches.
That's a beer, ladies and gentlemen. That's a beer.
It's beer made
didn't have
by
company
Flying Dog
over
Brewery,
here.
Which I highly recommend. And best of all, it's 8.3%, because if you're watching politicians, you need something to kick you in the ass.
Well, you're right about that. You're right about that. They, I just a quick sidebar real quick. Do you get any special discounts for getting Raging Bitch's name on the air? Is that the...
you know, I haven't been able to work that out, but I'm still trying.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I'll provide air checks if it'll help you out at all. We'll be happy to pass those things along. But the, you know, there was a couple of ones of the of those things that you, the epigrams that you posted up on your website that that really drove the point home. For example, nothing happened on 9/11 that made the federal government more trustworthy. And I think that's something that people read to hear and think about over and over again, because as a mutual friend of ours, Tom Creasing, pointed out, it was the idea that Americans are becoming more and more comfortable with a victim status instead of that rugged individualism we've heard so much about. This does not portend good things for the country.
Yeah, Tom made some excellent points on that. It's interesting. One of the most shocking things to me about 9/11 after the day itself was in the 2 weeks afterwards, the number of Americans who trusted the government to do the right thing doubled. It was one of the biggest changes in the polling in the history of the Gallup poll. And I was astounded by that, because it was like people were drawing all the wrong lessons. I mean, it wasn't like 9/11 was Uncle Sam's greatest day.
Was there any, do you recall when the, because I was trying to, after we talked today, I was trying to remember 10 years. I can't remember where my wallet is right now, much happened 10 years ago. But the business of when or even if the media, the mainstream media that we tend to reference in this business so much, ever got around to pointing out the failure of so many different systems between the FBI, the CIA, the FAA, and really emphasized that part?
Well, every now and then there'd be a short story on that on page A14 or A16, while day after day the front page headlines were dominated by thank God for this agency and thank God for that agency. One of the most astounding things was that the Federal Aviation Administration had screwed up massively in 9/11, and within a few weeks, they were being touted as if they too were national heroes. It was bizarre. The news media was so craven, and many of the top pundits were at the front of the bootlicking line. And it was appalling to see all these folks trying to encourage all other Americans to bow down as if we had some kind of super being there in charge in Washington. And it doesn't matter if it's Bush or Clinton or Obama, they were trying to inculcate an attitude of absolute servility towards whoever was president.
Yes, and to continue on with that thought, a couple of other pearls from your page. One we're seeing right now, a little Orwellian, but nevertheless, perpetual war inevitably begets perpetual repression. It is impossible to destroy all alleged enemies of freedom everywhere without also destroying freedom in the United States. Quote unquote, Jim Bovard, terrorism and tyranny. Here's the thing on that, Jim. We're pretty much on our way to this perpetual war thing. We're still hanging out in Afghanistan for reasons nobody can quite understand. Still got troops in Iraq, still lofting missiles, courtesy of NATO, thank you so much, on Libya last I checked. And we still have troops stationed all around the world in a variety of places where there isn't a whole lot going on at the moment. But it does keep the wheels turning.
Well, and it's creating new enemies. The one of the biggest troubles with the war on terror is that the U.S. government is far more capable of creating enemies than it is at fighting them or destroying them. And the thing we need is a supply-side anti-terrorism policy that says, well, maybe we should stop creating new folks who want to blow themselves up to punish America.
What about, here's one that always manages to get people in an uproar. Your quote, which isn't this quote I'm looking for, but it addresses it. A lie that is accepted by a sufficient number of ignorant voters becomes a political truth. There was a statement, I believe in the last election cycle, at some point made by Ron Paul, that the reason for the attacks wasn't because they hated our freedom or envied our technology and capitalism and luxurious lifestyle. It was because we had flyovers and restricted flights and we had all sorts of embargoes and blockades and so on that was impacting on their life. Plus, we had a couple of things on the ground that didn't sit too well with their religious philosophy. There still seems to be a greater life, if for want of a better term, for the first than for the latter.
The first being which one?
The one about that they hate us because of our freedom.
Well, it's interesting. George Bush stated that on 9/11, but in one of the speeches he gave that day, he said that these people had attacked America because they hate freedom. And I was trying to figure out how it was possible for Bush to know what the motives were before we even knew the identity of the hijackers. But this has been a meme. How's it pronounced? Well, this has been the theme of the folks apologizing for everything the U.S. government has done over the last 10 years, and they have consistently said that it is irrelevant what the U.S. does abroad. I mean, it's interesting. I'm sure that Americans would react differently if a foreign country was putting an embargo on them or was bombing them or things like that. But for some reason, foreigners are supposed to have a totally different reaction than what Americans would have. And it was great that Ron Paul had the courage and the clarity to say that. And it was like a litmus test, because to see the number of people who became enraged by that or who are still enraged by it, it is as if we are not allowed to consider the evidence of the impact of our foreign policy, no matter how many innocent foreigners perish as a result of it.
Yeah, I remember watching the debate, and they were having the microphone problems at the time, and Giuliani was snickering derisively, as was Romney, and there was a couple others in there that I recall, but they were the ones who were right on top of it. And it is unfortunate. It's an inconvenient truth when those things step forward like that, and you see the reaction of the politicians. And your point that that Bush was able to identify the hijackers before anybody else knew who they were. Well, I guess that was just part of our great intelligence work that we had going at the time.
Yeah. It's just too bad it was ex post facto.
Yeah, you see, and not too many people are taking Latin these days. That's a good thing.
That's true, but it's one of the benefits of you being on the air in Ohio, because people in Ohio get that, whereas people in West Virginia wouldn't.
You got to be careful. Our web stream makes it into certain parts of West Virginia where there are holes in the. Well, look, here's the thing though, and this all leads up to another one of the quotes you have posted here. Citizens should distrust politicians who distrust freedom, and that goes beyond 9/11. As a matter of fact, that pretty much extends to everybody that's on Capitol Hill right now. Everyone who says that, I take an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution. But, and everything after the but is how they don't uphold and defend the Constitution or the Bill of Rights or whatever. So when it comes to speaking out on freedom and liberty, that pretty much narrows the crowd down to a very small number.
Yeah, my impression is that many of the congressmen say that that they're in favor of the Constitution except for the Bill of Rights, which is the part that puts a limit on the politicians' power. So the primary part that limits their power. There's such utter hypocrisy, and it's frustrating to me. One of the things that was frustrating to see how much the mainstream media was painting the narrative yesterday. It was they were still accepting the government's storyline. It was still with the government as hero, if not superhero, and it was still as if us average Americans, us commoners, are supposed to be grateful to Washington. And it was almost completely ignored, all the lies, the failures, the waste, and the abuses of the war on terror.
We talked about this briefly, off the air earlier today, but we've kind of skirted all around it. But where do you come down on the 9/11 truthers? I mean, there's all these films and all this, all these tinfoil hats out there, and some of it looks fairly convincing. There's just not enough time, I guess. At least I don't have it to go through all of that. But have you seen any inconsistencies? I mean, there weren't just CYA. And I don't mean to minimize that, but CYA on the part of the government, the media storyline that raises any doubts about what happened there.
Well, it's a paradoxical situation because from day one, the U.S. government was lying up and down, if not back and forth, about what happened on 9/11 and what it knew beforehand. So the U.S. government has no credibility on 9/11 at this point. That said, that doesn't mean that the U.S. government did it. I have not seen any convincing evidence that the U.S. government carried out the attacks. It would not surprise me at all if the U.S. government had shot down that plane in Pennsylvania, because there's a lot more clear questions on that than there is on anything else. But that by itself is not that's not the moral equivalent of planning to take down the World Trade Towers. So, but it's unfortunate that some folks have seen the government lies and assume that simply because the government is showing so much bad faith and the government abused the 9/11 attacks to attack Iraq and crack down on Americans' rights and liberties, that proves the government did it. It doesn't prove the government did it. Governments screw up all the time.
Well, no doubt about that. That's one thing you can count on. Bringing it up to the events of the weekend, there was the news this morning about a couple of planes that had some shenanigans going on board. One flight from L.A. to New York had some people fooling around in the restroom, and that managed to call up a couple of fighter jets that accompanied the flight into New York. A couple of things about that. First of all, apparently, at least according to the report from AP that I read this morning, the captain and crew didn't see the situation was out of hand. The airline stated that they did not request any sort of assistance from the federal government, and yet the later reports point out that that there was this need to call up these two jets.
It's fascinating. A later report I saw, apparently there were federal air marshals on that flight.
Yes.
It may have been those air marshals who called in the thing. There was a report on ABC on this, I guess, earlier today, and I watched it, and some host was interviewing Brian Ross, and the host finished by saying that it was very reassuring that the F-16s were up there anyhow, even though that they weren't needed. And he had such a look on his face, and it was a typical line of the mainstream media after 9/11. It doesn't matter how stupid or wasteful the government acts, we're supposed to be grateful.
Well, and as a wise person said, you know, reassuring to whom? I mean, if I'm a passenger on the plane, I look out the window and I see an armed F-16 on my wing, you know, and some commotion going on in the men or ladies room. You know, I don't think you have to be a Mensa candidate to be able to put two and two together and figure out what the hell this might mean.
Right, and an interesting point about the later story was that apparently there were three people, and they weren't going to the bathroom in the same place. They were apparently going to different bathrooms at different times, but the air marshals were concerned that they were spending too long in there, which makes me think that maybe TSA should have a policy in which it bans Mexican fast food in the airports, because if somebody has too many burritos and they spend that long time in the bathroom, the whole damn plane might get shot down.
Yeah, well, you know, it could have been the peanuts, Jim.
I've never had trouble with peanuts.
Well, those honey
but
roasted
peanuts. I was raised
peanuts.
In Virginia, so, you know, that's,
well,
that's
you
like
go.
Mother's milk.
Well, I got to tell you, I thank you for your work and your insights. There's a number of other interesting tidbits on there that might help you in your considerations of the government and the proper perspective in relationship to 9/11. Just go to jimbovard.com/blog, and you can not only see Jim's writings but the contributions of a lot of his incredibly intelligent friends. Jim, I look forward to our next chat. It's always erudite having you on the show.
Thanks, Brian, and watch out for your next flight, and try to avoid the burritos.
No tacos. I got you. It's a no taco fly zone. I hear you there. Thanks, Jim.
Hey, thanks,
Jim,
Brian.
You've had Jim Bovard. Jim Bovard, author extraordinaire of all sorts of great books, any one of which would have a good place in your lap as well as your library.